Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors, Christy Wowardy Dowardy,
Kelly Barlow. When she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the bird.
Just saying. Okay.
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers, Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster.
Give 'em hell, Miss Noel.
And Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Crappens.
Crappens. Watch what crappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker from BsideBlog.com and the Banter Blender podcast, and joining me on this beautiful Friday afternoon in April, oh, it's Friday the 13th, oh my god, it's a spooky podcast, it's Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com and the Rose Brooks Bachelor podcast. Hi Ronnie.
Hello, Ben. She's got money.
I hope you have no intention of going to a cabin in the woods.
Girl, or, you know I'm too tired for that.
My hearts are with all the people going to Coachella this weekend because you're going on Friday the 13th weekend. So clearly it's the perfect setting for a slasher movie. You know, like someone gets slashed right when Beyonce's hitting a high note in like the Sahara tent on night two, and they don't hear the killing because Beyonce is like, that's my Beyonce impersonation.
No one wants to die in a Coachella tent, a yurt. No one wants to die in a yurt.
No one wants to die in Coachella.
No one wants to die without a bath. Like, you know that you're going to the, you know, you're going to the after death people, the mortuary or whatever, the mortician. And you smell like butt cheese or whatever. Like, nobody wants that, you guys. Don't go to Coachella on Friday the 13th.
No one wants to die with a flower crown on. No one wants to die with, like, a problematic American Indian headdress on. That's not a way to go, okay?
No one wants to die in their community, their Coachella community. Is that a thing, or is that just Burning Man that has communities?
I think they both have communities. One is more basic, and one is more smelly. Yeah, seriously, like, let's not ruin this Haim moment on night two. Okay, let's not ruin Haim. You ever listen to Haim?
No, I'm thinking of Corey Haim. Who are you talking about? Haim? I got sad.
Well, Haim? Understandably. Haim. I say Haim to make it sound more Israeli. It's like, it's these three sisters. They're like these rock and roll sisters, and all their songs sound like this. It's like White Charay. They're like, but it's like three of them, so they're all doing it all at once.
No, but I feel like they deserve to die at Coachella.
They're fine. I like some of their songs.
Oh, sounds great. I think you just sold them like 50 albums right now. Yeah. People are going to run out and buy that. I want to hear the...
I have a Haim song. Let's see if I can play a Haim song so we can hear
some of
it.
If you like it, then you should have put
it... You got chakas? Shreychella. It's going to be in September, spring, summer.
You got baseballs? You got baseballs?
I'm going to play... Okay, I'm going to play a little bit of Haim so you can hear like how they sound. Those are two different songs, by the way, even though they sound exactly the same.
Yeah, that was a very quick entree to Haim.
Yeah. That's all you need to know. They're good. They actually are good. But they sort of have a... They have a style. They go, hold on. You got baseballs?
Spring, September, summer, winter, fall. That's Sheree's new song.
Today is also Luann's hearing, by the way.
Oh my god. If they send her to jail and we have tickets for the Countess live, I'm gonna be pissed.
I would be happy if the only way I'd be happy for Countess Luann going to jail would be if she is sentenced by Judge Judy. That to me would be a great pop culture confluence.
Judge Judy should just be the Supreme Court.
Yeah, why not? We'd be much more efficient as a country. Every case is like 5 minutes. Takes like 2 years to get to the Supreme Court. So she's like, okay.
Don't piss on my leg and tell me it's raining. Get out, idiot.
Gay marriage. Okay, fine. What?
Huh? Okay. So today's show is Southern Charm.
Before the Southern Charm, of course, we do have to mention, we do have a show this Sunday. If you aren't going to Coachella or if you're coming back, don't let the party end. We are doing a show at the Irvine Improv. I believe it's 7 p.m. It could be 7:30 p.m. It's around then. Go to watchercrappins.com to find the ticket links. It's going to be a fabulous show. Taco Bell will be there. They're going to be doing giveaways. They have a Taco Bell truck that will be there with free Taco Bell. So we can all be part of the Taco Bell coven. It'll be super fun. So everyone come. We're going to be talking about The Real Housewives of Orange County, season 4 episode, classic episode, The Naked Wasted Dinner Party, where Gretchen Rossi gets naked wasted.
Tamra!
Oh my god! I watched that yesterday to get my notes done, and wow, this is like a very depressing part of the Orange County world. Well, I think all those beginning seasons, they were like, here's how awful and depressing everybody's life is. Whereas now they're like trying to make it sound fun, like Vicky is pretending her boyfriend has cancer. Like they make it fun. Yeah. Back then it was like Gina in a closet, like. Well, can't leave him because, you know,
Matt.
He almost died. So I guess I can now. But, you know, and then Lori's kids are wasted in the bathroom and she's completely delusional. And then we know what happens there. And then Gretchen's man is like in the hospital dying. I mean, it is so, so dark. It is going to be delicious to cover.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm just excited to have some more Lynn Curtin in our lives.
I have never done a Lynn Curtin impersonation before.
Neither have I. And
working on it in the mirror has been, I mean, it's brought me so much joy.
I think you just have to, like, somehow lower your heartbeat and just be like, I'm going to work on it. I'm going to workshop it. But today we do have Southern Charm, and this was really an amazing episode. Wow, so good. Almost all of it took place at one location. That's when you know it's a good episode, when they don't have to change it around or move around. It's no fancy trickery of the timeline. It's just they're all at Shep's house at his birthday barbecue, and it's almost, I would say it's like 95% takes place there, and a few little scenes at the end.
Yeah, I like when they're like, we're going to shoot at a straight guy's house. It's outside in a dirt backyard.
And we made the table look like a Wayfair commercial.
Yes. Pretty much, yeah. Do you want to take something off the Wayfair wall? Like creating spaces.
Oh my god, could you imagine like a Shep and Craig trading spaces episode?
Gosh. Why would you do faux on my walls? Gosh.
Gosh, why did you attach all my furniture to the ceiling? Gosh.
Why don't you support the grass that I stapled to your ceiling, Garsh?
it's the prison of love, Shep, because I feel like I'm a prisoner of your love sometimes as a friend.
Craig could just say all of his real lines. He could be like, what's wrong with my selling?
Know me? So, anyway.
I didn't even know you cared. Like, they all actually work.
Paige Davis does seem like someone who'd be hanging around with this crew, right? Like, I wouldn't have been surprised if she were sitting at that table just palling around with Danny. Yeah. And then, like, when everyone starts to fight, she, like, takes, like, Catherine under one arm and Ashley under one arm. She's like, guys, I know you're mad, but do you want to see your new rooms? And they're like, what new rooms?
I've seen people cry on this show. I've seen them try and burn their house down. I've seen them.
Are you guys still mad? Aren't you guys like a little bit happy? Just like a little bit happy. It's like, listen, Paige Davis, you're not going to fix this.
I mean, you're on TV. Guys, I just need you to be a little bit braver.
Catherine, do you think maybe you would like Ashley more if she's stapled AstroTurf to your kitchen island.
Come on, guys. So if Judge Judy is the Supreme Court, then Paige Davis is the bailiff.
Oh my God. You just gave me the worst smoker's laugh. I don't even smoke. I was like,
you have secondhand smoke from all of this distance away. Yeah. This mile away that we live.
Oh, I thought you meant from the smoker in Shep's yard.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I know. How many people are going to leave there with like little clots of chicken fat in their lungs?
Still look better than anything on the Food Network these days.
So the girls, I love, they
the Food Network would be like lasagna on the grill.
I know, and they still would have fucked it up.
Yeah.
It's a fun thing about that channel as well. We'll get into that another day.
Yeah.
But this opens with the girls on their way over, and they're still really milking the nightmare version of their theme song, which I love. Who's got money? Ba-dum, ba-dum. And they're all
carrying Friday the 13th sound effects.
It's like when you're killed at Coachella with bad art from Ross Dress for Less.
Catherine is carrying, I said she's carrying random IKEA art, but it's probably like Ross Dress for Less art, just like big colorful shapes.
Yeah, like three of them have it, because they know that Chef doesn't have anything on his goddamn wall. You know?
They all had random canvases and shadow boxes.
Well, normally you bring a plant or something, but I mean, that, you know, you're just sending it to its death, bringing it to Shep's house. You know?
Yeah, they had some empathy, because they are living things after all.
Yeah, it's like bringing a lamb to slaughter. They're like, let's just get art.
Instead of bringing a living thing, why don't we bring something from Living Spaces?
Jennifer couches or whatever.
Jennifer convertibles.
Expensive.
Gosh, I thought it was going to be a car.
I thought it was going to be a Jennifer. So they're all on their way, and the drums are like, bum, bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 ba-dum. Like it's the beginning of Big Business, which I really liked.
Oh my God.
And the boys are still barbecuing. The chicken's not ready. I don't know what people are going to eat at this party.
Yeah.
But they've slaughtered, I think, like 30 farms for this party. There's so much meat. So much meat.
Yeah, there's a lot of meat and none of it is cooking. It's just slowly dying on the grill.
Yeah, and Whitney arrives and he's kind of like an old woman now, trying to be like a young guy, which is really creepy in his own Bates Motel kind of way. And they're all standing in that dirt patch backyard, and he just keeps looking up at the lit windows like, Mother? Mother? Did my mother eat this chicken? Mother, stop telling me to burn the chicken! Mother!
You know what's funny? Last night, this is almost nothing to do with anything, but last night, for the first time ever, I watched The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, and I tagged you in my Instagram story, Ronnie, because I thought of you. And there is something about Shep's house that reminded me of that whorehouse, you know? It just sort of had that feel, like, I felt like they could all break out and dance.
Well, Shep had an asshole couple of seasons, so I think he should get Dolly Parton in there. Dolly Parton helps anybody's reputation.
Yeah,
it costs a lot of money to look this cheap.
Everyone's just sort of standing around. There's a lot of cross-cutting back and forth to different conversations. So at one point, there's talk about the nanny, soon to be departed nanny, and Ashley's like, well, you know, if we get married, I could become the children's caretaker, so you won't have to get a nanny.
Oh, honey, you think you're the first to try and climb that wall? Sorry.
Yeah. How well do you float? As in, what happens when Thomas shoves you into the pool?
And your assistant, and her purse, ma'am.
Ma'am.
And then Thomas is even, the thing about Thomas, he's the biggest pig on TV and on the internet, you know, by the way, for people who aren't keeping up. He's a disgusting human being, okay?
Yeah.
And he's even being disgusting to her, and he's just brought her in as a prop to get Catherine mad, you know? Yeah. But he's even fucking with her, because they're in the car, and he's like, well, I like the new nanny. I really like her. I like her a lot. She's like, yeah, she's good, because, you know, she helped fucking pick this biatch out the Craigslist or wherever they found her.
Penny Saver.
Out the Ashley Madison. It was probably out the Ashley Madison.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't know why Catherine has to approve of her. Really? You're dead to me already, Ashley, okay?
Yeah, she's only the mother. These are only her children.
Yeah, I don't know why she has to approve. Yeah, short shorts. So enjoy Thomas's hand up your butt crack the whole time. You're never getting a cent. Okay?
She is just going to take a thrashing this entire season. I know it. It's going to be so fun.
She's earning it, man.
She really is. She is truly living up to the caricature of the other woman in a rom-com. You know, I always call it the Jamie Gertz, you know, because I always like to say that I'm the Jamie Gertz because I don't deal well with children. I'm like, oh, hi. But she really is being that person who, you know, you spend the entire movie waiting for the guy to dump, you know?
Yep.
She's doing it. She's like doing, she's hitting all her marks. So Cameron arrives at the party. She's like, hello, hello. She's like, oh, fuck it.
And Catherine's like, I like when they're in the car with all the girls, and the girls are still like, girl power, which, look, we watch Bravo, so I can't wait to watch this fall apart, which is a terrible thing to say. But I have a feeling it's not going to last.
Yeah.
And Catherine's like, I'm not ready to date. I have stretch marks.
Yeah.
I'm like, I would never date if that. And then I was like, yeah, I don't date. But I didn't even have a baby. I just have like domino stretch marks. It's not fair.
I know.
You're still pretty.
Just
get out there.
It happens. You know, just a little touch up. We all have stretch marks.
Darling, I've had so many domino babies. So Cameron gets there, yeah, and she's like, don't make the pregnant one waddle up the stairs. I'm like, well, okay, enjoy your time at the dog park. The dirt patch. They're going to be standing in the rest of the day.
Yeah, exactly. It's, reminds me of season one of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills when Taylor threw a birthday party for like her three-year-old daughter. And she put up this whole fancy table for the adults in this lovely green area. And then the kids had to play in this small, tiny little dirt patch.
Yes.
It's like priorities she's like, are I'm a little so mixed rich. Up. Yeah.
So she's kissing Cameron's ass already, this Ashley girl, because she knows the real boss of this show is Cameron. It's Cameron and Whitney. We all know it.
Yeah.
So she comes up to her and she's like, wow, you look so pretty. What are you, 4 or 5 months?
Yeah.
Shut girl hush, okay? I didn't hire you. I can't fire you, but I can ruin your life. Go stand over there by the picnic table.
I'm going to start the 45-minute process of going up these stairs. Excuse me. I'd also like to mention that Bo is back. We met Bo last season, and I think he's friends with Shep. I think he's friends with Shep, but he's hot, and we always have to, you know, point out who's hot in any given moment. So Bo is back. Very happy to say.
It's kind of like a guy from Planet of the Apes playing some like a 50s dad, like house dad, housewife's dad, you know, like Leave It to Beaver dad kind of guy.
He's like an approachable Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers? Does he look... trying to think what he looks like. Well, I have the Google. I'll look
yeah, you look up Aaron Rodgers.
I'm going to assume that's a double A.
A double A? Yes.
Aaron.
But the Rodgers has a D in it, I believe.
Oh, yes. Google even knew. Let me see.
Aaron Rodgers.
Images. He's got a hat on and all of these things. One of those football hats. Oh, yeah. He does look like him. Good call.
Yeah, you know? But, like, not famous and talented in the same way.
And he doesn't look mean. Aaron Rodgers looks mean. Is he mean?
I don't know if he's mean. He doesn't talk to his family, so that seems pretty mean, but I don't know what
duh.
His family...
Oh, Aaron Rodgers'
oh,
brother.
Oh, yes, brother.
Aaron Rodgers from The Bachelor. Duh, I know who he is, of course.
Rose Pricks crossover.
Well, he hates his brother and won't speak to him, and then that girl from the JoJo just married the brother so she could be close to Aaron, and they still can't speak. So it's all a delicious soap opera to me. No wonder he has a mean face.
Yeah.
I don't blame you, Aaron.
Well, it's the Olivia Munn effect, I guess. So Cameron has finally made it upstairs, and she's like, so, Craig, are you you going to have a date coming over to this party? He's like, no, I don't think that's very tasteful to know me. I don't want her to feel bad. I haven't seen her in 3 months, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's not what you do to an ex. And she's like, what? Come on! It's like, come on, Cameron. Can you be on the girl's side for one time on this entire show? Has she ever been on a girl's side?
I think so.
She hasn't. She really hasn't.
I don't know about
unless
that.
She's faked it. But
I don't
know. This is foreshadowing, because later, it's like, Cameron, she's always, always on these guys' side. And these guys are such little pricks, you know? Now, that said, I'm always going to love Cameron. Cameron could bite the head off a little kitty cat on this show, and I'd be like, oh, God, I love her testimonials.
She's great.
I just love them.
So, anyway, we go back to the girls in the car, and they're approaching, and Naomi's getting nervous because she hasn't seen Craig since they broke up 3 months ago, so she's all super nervous. And while they're talking about all this, I don't know if you noticed this, but Chelsea was holding something in her hand that said, Fatty Patty. Did you see that?
Oh, what was it?
I don't know what a Fatty Patty is, but Chelsea had it. It's a
Fatty
Patty.
That's how I feel. Every time I see Austin flirting with one of my friends, I'm over it. Really not, but I am.
I think this is just a great protest. This is a great hashtag Me Too protest. Like, you know what? We're sick of the good old boys, so we're going to get them some shitty, shitty gifts. Artwork from IKEA and Ross and something called a Fatty Patty.
Well, you know the guys just bring beers that are mixed and matched that are stolen from their refrigerators in the first place to their own housewarming, so.
Yeah, exactly. So this is a Fatty Patty is a step up.
Yeah, so Craig is still talking to Cameron. I don't know why this needed two scenes of Craig, like, I'm just focusing on me. And she's like, you do you, Craig. So Whitney and Austin are talking, and Whitney's like, bro, I heard that stuff's going down in your, like, brodom hood. Bro,
Renob. Yeah. I'm a bro, too. I got a band called Renob. That's boner backwards.
Yep, I'm a bro. And he's like, well, you know, not good, because, like, I dated her friend, so. I'm trying to get an Austin that's separate from Carl, because they don't have the same voice, but they do have, like, the same twitchy mouth with a tongue that refuses to stay right. in it, you know?
Yeah. Just talk like a Muppet.
Okay, I'll just kind of do it like this, because he doesn't have a deep voice like Carl.
He does. He's just like a high voice. Well, it's not high. It's low.
Well, compared to Carl, you know,
but it's not
like,
low.
Yeah, well, you know, I dated her friend. He's like, whoa, that was a bad move.
Yeah, I like Austin is like he's getting sort of the idiot's edit this season, which I like. He keeps saying just dumbass things. Like, yeah, I don't know. Like, so why did you guys break up? Oh, because I started dating her friend. Like, oh, so that's why you're not an item anymore. That makes sense. So, so the women are on the way over, and T-Rav's like, JD calls those women the breakup bunch, because that's what women do. They just talk and gossip and don't offer anything to what the real men can do. That's why they're the breakup bunch.
The breakup bunch. You're divorced. You brought a bimbo to piss off your ex. Your JD is getting divorced and living in the guest house. Austin got dumped. Craig got dumped. Like, how are they the breakup bunch?
Yeah.
You're all a mess, okay?
Exactly. So Catherine in the car starts telling a story that T-Rav and JD, because by the way, all the women are just really over JD right now. So Catherine tells a story that she was speaking to T-Rav, and he told her that that he and JD were drinking, and then Elizabeth came on over and started banging on the door like a crazy woman. And Catherine was like, yeah, she was probably banging on the door because your ass was supposed to be home. And I was like, that's not fair, because that was supposed to be our line to say on the podcast, and you said it, Catherine, on the show. Like, that's our role.
Nomi adds to it, and she's like, yeah, he took all of her money and then just started never coming home.
Because I was like, that's Ronnie's line.
Well, we've already said these things so many times that it's amazing seeing it come true on TV. You know, it makes me feel like Mandela.
Yeah, but then
you mean Mbella
Mandela. Mandela references this week. But I like that Danny's like, why are men so narcissistic, as she literally turns to do her makeup in the mirror. So then there was like another flare up in the barbecue area, because Whitney was up on the balcony and Craig was down below, and he's like, can you throw some foil down, please? And Shep is like, Craig, we don't have foil. You're my foil. You're my foil in life. How do you not know we don't have foil, Craig? Gosh.
Of course, Shep doesn't have foil. That's hilarious. But I like that Craig is like a doctor down there. He's like, spatula, lighter fluid. That's foil. God, we don't have foil. Or she's like, well, then, you know what happened? You just killed the patient.
That's a very Ina Garten move, because whenever Ina Garten has a, whenever she has a guest on her show and they're cooking a recipe and they're like, okay, I'm just going to need you to hand me some salt. She goes like, oh, I love this. I feel like I'm the nurse. Nurse, nurse. That's like her ongoing joke with herself.
Nurse. We don't have foil.
I just liked how angry Shep got at Craig asking for foil. Gosh, don't you know I don't have my foil? Ah,
what kind of caterer are you?
Gosh, it's time to go to a commercial. Ah, Craig.
So then Craig's like, Whitney, don't take it up, Whitney. What are you doing? And Whitney's like, well, we've got to cook it. Like, somebody has to eat this, so, you know, oven. And he's like, haven't you learned not to touch someone's food? Like, yeah. Okay, now we're on Below Deck.
Okay. Yes, now but before that, crazy that happens, girl Jen
eating food off somebody's plate.
Yes, so before that happens, though, the girls arrive, and as soon as the girls arrive, Ashley's standing with Thomas. She puts her hand in Thomas's pocket, which is such a strange thing to. It was not a strange thing to do. I totally understood why she was doing it, but like in life, it's strange to just put your hand in someone's pocket. But she was clearly like making a physical statement of, "This is my man. I'm his girl right now, and this is us. So you're coming in as four girls, but I got my hands in his tight-ass white pants." Oh, I was like, oh, she is starting shit. Disgusting. She is starting shit with her short shorts and that.
Yeah, and it's disgusting. He hasn't washed those things in ages. Her hands are going to smell like cheese. It was gross. It's like a trap. And then did you notice that when she put her other arm around him, she looked at her wedding finger? She looked at her ring finger, like she flexed her fingers and stared at her ring finger. And I was like, bitch, I cannot wait to watch you never get that thing.
Well, she probably got her comeuppance because you know there was like a half-eaten Andy's mint in that pocket that was melting on her middle finger pedicure.
It was manicure. Like beef jerky or something, because he's the kind of guy to be like, hey, it's only jerky before working, because that's how I'm going to get my quirky on. Okay.
Sometimes you got to keep a little Oberto in your pocket.
Moose knuckle, get a chuckle, put your hand right down my fuckle. Whoa, can I say that? When he's like, can I write that down for Renob?
So Catherine comes in and she makes great use of her IKEA art. She basically turns it into like a barrier / excuse. She holds it up like she's almost like she's about to go surfing with it, like she's about to go jumping into the waves. She just holds it up in front of her like a shield and starts zipping by. She's like, hi, and he's like, hi, Catherine. And she's like, I gotta hide the art. It was kind of amazing.
And of course, as she comes in, Thomas starts trying to distance himself because Ashley, you know, has her, she's like cupping her hands all the way down to his knees now, trying to get the edge of his balls, you know, and Ashley. And he's like, well, I don't want to make Catherine mad. You know, he's like backing up away from her. And she's like, why are you walking away from me? Do not let go of my hand.
Yeah.
And Catherine's like, where do I put this art? 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 I'm like, find a patch of dirt, bury that shit, okay?
Yes. She'll just carry that art around all night long. So there's general awkwardness with all the couples who've broken up. And we sort of land on Austin and Chelsea talking. They're the ones who are the least awkward because they had the smallest relationship. And they're just sort of talking like, oh, hey, how's it going? And he's like, hi, nice to see you. And they're talking about Ashley. And she's like, yeah, she's a real smokestack. And he's like, yeah, she's pretty cute. And it's like, Austin, this is not really how you win her back.
Yeah, not that I'm looking. She's like,
I can't see that. Anything. Can't see anything but the help wanted ads right now because I don't have a job.
Yeah, you said that. You just said that. I just like that everything is funny to her. She's like, yeah, bubblegum.
And so, he just goes, and then Chelsea's like, well, I feel bad for Catherine. I'm giving her a Thomas Ravenel voice, but she's like, I feel bad for Catherine, you know. I know what that's like, sort of staring at Austin, like, you did this to me. And he's like, you look great.
Yeah, typical. I was going to say this. They met, did you already do the Catherine meets Ashley?
You know what? We may have glossed over it with talk of how she was hiding behind the art, but we can step back a little bit.
And he's like, look, the scenery's trying to change. That's really Catherine acting up. Catherine, have you met Ashley? And Ashley's like, hi. Catherine's like, nice to meet you.
Yeah. Nice to meet you. This art needs hiding. Bye.
And then, yeah, she's like, time to change the set. And so she runs by with like the flat.
Yeah, Catherine just should have come dressed all in black, like she's a techie, you know?
And had like a little like stage manager radio thing on.
Exactly. She's just caught the entire night, she's just swapping in chairs.
Yeah.
Swapping them out.
Like, all right, fly system. 1, 2, 3, go. I said go on 3, not go on go. God damn it.
Oh my goodness. So meanwhile Does
Cameron is standing up on the balcony of judgment, which I like. This is another thing from like another show, but Cameron can't just be going up and down the stairs, right? So yeah. They're like, what are you going to be down here alone? She's like, all right, I guess I'll go up the stairs. Stop looking at my butt, Whitney. And then she goes upstairs, and then they all go downstairs. So at this point, she's just stuck up there, and she's just leaning over the balcony, judging everyone as they scurry around, like trying to pretend that they're not jealous of each other, you know?
Exactly. And then Craig and Whitney sort of have a moment because, you know, everyone's asking Craig to do things. He's like, I'm not the boss of the menu. I didn't, you know, I'm just working. I'm just doing whatever Shep says. And Whitney's like, oh. Shep is completely disorganized. Totally disorganized. I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, sorry, Michael the butler isn't here.
Well, I was actually thinking of him because when Cameron's just standing there eating, the guys are like, damn, Cameron, you're hungry. And she's like, Whitney goes, yeah, she shouldn't be standing. She should be sitting and eating. My mother's been pregnant in her mind for 5 decades. Pretty much.
So
Catherine gives. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say the same thing as you were. You
can I was just gonna say she gives. She's like, "Oh, I got you this painting. It says home in nautical flags."
Shep's like, "Gosh, that's awesome! I was just watching a PBS special about nautical flags
in Vietnam."
Oh.
Oh.
So then Catherine, I think, did I miss?
We're cutting around so much. It's hard. By the way, that's why there's so many ums in this. I keep fast, like, scrolling down. I'm like, what have we done? What have we not done?
I know. Well, it's tricky because, I mean, we're going in order so far. Everything's in line. But I just know that we probably both, wrote down different notes. It's hard to tell if the note that you wrote down, the little scene that you wrote down, happened before or after my next little thing that I wrote. That's what makes it tricky because it's not sort of one coherent scene. But the next thing that I noticed was they were all in the kitchen, and did Catherine pour herself a giant glass of Fireball and she put it in a wine glass?
No, she poured Red Bull.
Oh, I thought she said she put Fireball in there.
No, she said Red Bull? This is just Red Bull, but I want to fit in.
Oh my God, that makes so much more sense because I was like, first of all, wow, bold, drinking Fireball on TV with your husband there. And second of all, I was like, that's a lot of Fireball in a glass.
Yeah, no kidding.
She's just going to sip that all night?
Yeah. No, it was Red Bull. Because I remember in the preview, I was like, that's how I like sobriety. Like with a big glass of wine, because I showed this in the preview. But no, she's like, it's Red Bull, but I guess I fit in.
Wow, makes much more sense to me now.
Yeah. So then Thomas finally, Naomi passes Thomas and Ashley, and he's like, hey there, did you meet Ashley? And she's like, oh, hi. So how did you guys meet? And Thomas is like, I was playing golf in Santa Barbara.
Polo.
I was playing polo in Santa Barbara. And she's like, oh, my God, I lived there. And she's like, Ashley, she lived in Santa Barbara. Have you played polo? Loser. Was it Santa Barbara Polo or just Santa Barbara? Loser. And Naomi's like, all I remember really are spiders, which was a good, nice little slam to this new girl. You know?
That was, yeah, exactly. Also, there was a moment upstairs where just prior to this, Shep was talking to Naomi, and he's like, gosh, so are you and Craig gonna get back together, you know, or be friends? Because, like, a great way to honor your relationship would be if you guys became friends now, right? And you can see Naomi's like, I am not dealing with this, especially from you now, Shep. Like, please, no.
Yeah. If I need advice on how to, like, ball up my toe cheese and, like, build art out of it, I'll ask Shep.
Yeah. And okay. They're like, how much longer to the burgers? And I think Austin's like, probably, like, 5 or 10 more minutes. I'm like, how long have those burgers been on there? They don't need that much time. Jesus. And I loved, like, the entire episode, they were just constant cutaways to undercooked food, just sitting there on the grill, like, quietly undercooking.
Really, it's just Craig and Shep who are going to eat it, and Austin who are going to eat it anyway. No one else there is eating.
So when they're talking about Santa Barbara, when Naomi and Ash were talking about Santa Barbara, they also, the editors just had a field day cutting away to Catherine this episode, because Catherine's just scowling like,
Yeah. And Ashley's like, oh my God, spiders, you're right. There are so many spiders. One time I was in my house and there was a spider there. I was like, great fucking story. Who brought you, you know? And Catherine's like, she seems dumb as a rock. Okay, that's what she seems. Dumb as a rock.
There are spiders under rocks.
And then as there's rocks under spiders. Oh, yeah, there's spiders under rocks. That's how it goes. And then Thomas is like, come here. Let me kiss you, little spider lady. And Catherine's like, welcome to my life.
Yeah.
To my life.
And T-Rev starts feeling up Ashley. And she's like, babe, you're feeling me up. He's like, shut up.
So shut then up. JD arrives. And you know, because you're...
well, it's not just like... He doesn't arrive just like that. He arrives because Shep starts yelling down to Craig, and JD sort of arrives quietly right behind Shep, and Shep yells, we need those burgers, and we need those brats, and we need them up here soon. And JD goes, chop, chop!
And Chelsea's like, Austin, everyone hates JD, like the girls. Bye. And JD goes up to camera and he's like, hey, how come you ain't drinking something, honey? You need to have a glass of wine tonight just to calm your nerves.
Wah! Wah! I just did something just for man hair top.
I'm going to cough out bit of smoking grossness that I've built up over the years just talking about JD.
This is going to be really hard because I went to the gym before this. See, I'm already coughing. And, like, you ever go to the gym and you just, like, come back coughing? That's what I did. Like, I just did. I went a little too hard. And I went too hard in the paint, as they say. And I've just been coughing for the past hour. And I'm like, oh, God, I got to do JD voice today. And I'm already coughing. It's going to be a disaster. It's worth it.
I'm planning on clearing out my lungs today for sure. Yeah. And of course JD's like, just drink. And then wacky music. Okay, now the music on tonight's episode really is above and beyond. I feel like they have their own orchestra over there, because this is like that
the ding, Southern Charm Orchestra.
Ding 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 ding. It's like this 60s jazz music, and it's all a chingy chingy ching thing.
Yeah,
and it is so funny. And Naomi's just watching JD walk around with his dad jokes.
Yeah.
A glass of wine a day keeps the normal faced babies away. And Naomi's like, please get me away from him. Like, even the music change is bugging me in this room. Please get me away.
And Catherine's just rolling her eyes, watching JD go throughout the kitchen, like, where can I get a glass? Wah!
And they look down, and Austin is left there taking care of the meat. Because, of course, Craig's just upstairs talking now, like he has nothing to do.
So now Austin's having a hissy fit, and he's like, it's supposed to be Craig. And I love this because it felt so survivorish. You know, like, no one wants to take full responsibility for this meat that's just going down truly in flames. And they're all pointing fingers at each other. And I'm like, this is really where Chelsea needs to intervene, because she's the only one here who's actually been on Survivor and made it to, like, second place. So she needs to take over, because these guys cannot handle it.
Yeah, she's like, well, that meat sucks, but I cooked rice with a stick and a magnifying glass, so. Austin, or Catherine's like, who's cooking these, you? They're, like, mortified. And he's all upset he got caught with the meat.
Yeah.
So the girls are outside, and Catherine's like, there's a lot of awkward in there. What the fuck? And it's like, yeah, And she's like, Naomi goes, that was kind of an awkward hug with you and Thomas. And she goes, well, it was awkward for me out of respect because of my spray tan. Yeah.
She's like, I do the butt hug out of respect for my spray tan, but he does it out of awkwardness. I like that she respects her spray tan.
Yeah. She's like, did she say anything to you? And she goes, yeah. She said, nice to meet you. I mean, nice to meet you. No, it wasn't, bitch.
Wasn't at all. So then Ashley, meanwhile, like, Cameron's now at this point just lying on some outdoor couch, like, ugh. And Ashley comes out and's like, "You're the cutest thing ever." I'm like, "You just met her, okay? So calm down. You can't say that to someone you just met. You're the cutest thing ever, you fake ass bitch."
Yes. And Cameron's just like, "Okay, I'm earning my paycheck. I'm staying on this show. I will sit on this bench for the rest of the goddamn evening, okay? Bring me my meat." And yeah. Whitney's like, "I'm the boss, so I'm going to be here too, but I'm not interacting either." And so Ashley comes right up to them, of course, and she's like, "Guys, I don't want to go down there alone." And Whitney says, just go face the music. He's like, "Face the chingy chingy music." Like, ding, 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 ding. "I'm afraid of it." "Don't be afraid of it. It's whipped cream. Just go for it. Jump in it." She's like, Cameron goes, "It's not awkward. You haven't done anything wrong. I mean, they've moved on, right?" And Whitney's like, "Yeah, they've moved on."
I mean, the truth is this. Ashley hasn't done anything wrong. But the reason why I'm coming down on her is because she's doing little passive-aggressive territorial things, like the hand in the pocket. She's got one hand in Thomas's pocket and the other one around his dick. Sorry, impromptu Alanis. But the hand in the pocket, like, she put on the short shorts. It's, I'm not slut-shaming her. It's just that they don't make sense with the outfit, and she really only wore them to establish her figure. Like, she's being sneaky in ways that I don't appreciate. At least not yet. Like, maybe like in a year, I'll be like, "I love how sneaky that bitch is." You know?
No, because she's not. She's just so overt. She's just overtly an asshole. You know? She's like, "Well, if we get married, I can be the caretaker. Why should Catherine be able to choose the caretaker of her children?" Yeah. Like, what a bitch.
She's insidious.
Like, she's an asshole. So yeah, she's dead to me.
And Catherine basically tells the girls, like, "You know, I'm still in love with Thomas, but he's such a fucker, you know." And then the food is ready. They're like, "Food's ready," and Ashley goes inside. Like, literally all Ashley did was get up and go inside, and Catherine's like,
She goes, "You'd think that out of respect she would, like, come up to me." I'm like, "You were running around with the painting. What was she supposed to do? Chase you down and tackle you?"
Like Aaron Rodgers, if he was trying to stop a pass something.
You've just given the new guy, like, the best bank account out of anybody on this show. He hasn't even done anything. We're, like, already lionizing him.
That's why he hasn't done anything, which is why he has the best bank account.
That's how you stay a good person on Bravo. You don't speak.
Yes.
Okay? Ask Camille.
So the food is ready, and Shep is just eating like a monster. He is just, like, taking these crazy bites into the burger, like, where the food is just, like, dangling down from his mouth. He's grabbing from, like, the ribs, where it's, like, just chunky meat. He's like a caveman all of a sudden.
Yeah, he is. That's how he eats. It's disgusting.
And the thing is that they have this whole nice table that looks like it's made from Wayfair, and Cameron's the only one sitting at it. Like, everyone else is still up in the kitchen. She's just like, "I'm not going to fucking wait for anyone. I'm pregnant." So she's just sitting there, and she's like, "I eat like Roseanne." Which I would have maybe said, that seems like a strange, outdated reference. But it's not.
She was before her time, this Cameron. Before her time. So, Naomi's like, "If Craig had brought a girl here, I would have lost it." And Thomas is like, "The forks? Other folks?" And Craig's like, "It's not my party. Why do people keep asking me things? It's not my party. Stop asking me stuff. Stop."
Guys.
And JD's like, "Look at you, Cameron, eating for two. Do you love it? Do you love being pregnant?"
Maternity.
She's like, "It's not as bad as I thought, but I'm not going to be one of these women." He's like, "Being pregnant is amazing. It's the best thing that ever happened to me."
I know. I like that about her. She's like, "I mean, I do like having boobs for the first time in my life. Never had that before. Too bad they're going to look like tea bags in 6 months. And then Shep goes up to Craig, and he's like, "By the way, Naomi looks fabulous." I was like, "Great, thanks, Shep." I'm sure that Craig realized that. I'm sure Craig is already, like, swimming through a lake of regret.
Yeah, and Craig's like, "Well, she always has." And he's like, "Well, you both look great. Both you. Look at you. You both look great." Yeah. And someone's like, "Craig, aren't you going to eat?" And he goes, "The chef goes last."
Yeah. And Shep is like, Shep goes, yeah, Naomi looks really happy. And he's like, I hope she is. I hope she is really happy. Well, she looks super happy. Yeah, she's probably the happiest person I've ever seen. Yeah, she's like beyond happy. And then they cut to Naomi and she's like, I feel so very, very sad. No. I've cried 30 times in the past 2 hours.
And Catherine says, well, it shows how great you are because you can really serve that face. And then back upstairs, Shep's like, well, you all look great and everyone's here. And Craig's like, wow, you did it again, Shep. And he's like, yeah, I'm Mr. Inclusive, where I try to be. I'm like, there is not one not white person here.
Yeah. Sir. Yeah, there's that issue. The unspoken. So
Craig's like, well, except Elizabeth, she's not here, but she's the only one that's not here, you know, that didn't come for you, because everyone else would have come for you, but not Elizabeth, right? And he's like, of course, what an odd thing to say. Dun, dun, dun. So downstairs, Catherine sees Thomas. I don't know what Ashley's doing.
Yeah, Thomas is leering at Catherine, like licking his chops in the corner. Ha there. Hey, Catherine, I got a blonde joke for you. What do you call a blonde with a brain? A golden retriever. It's a joke. It's a joke. Exactly.
You and your jokes. But you know what bugs me? She kind of looks turned on.
I know.
Weird. You never know with these two.
This guy, can you believe this guy makes this joke on TV? I mean, yeah, not that.
It's like Thomas, he's a monster.
Yeah.
She's like, whoa, look at you, navy blue, your new color. I'm like, he's still in white jeans. Move away from him. If you can't keep your heart off of him, move away, ma'am. So he's like, well, here's the new place. She's like, I'll send some pictures. And he goes, oh, yeah, I have some pictures. Oh, look at this. I just got a text machine message. Oh, where are we supposed to meet? I found a young lady with a size 19 bosom, triple BBCC. I don't know what boob sizes are. I found a green eyes, blue hair. I'm going to be a great mother to my children. Whoa. How crazy that you happen to be here.
She starts 3 weeks ago, and I think that she's going to be great because she already has been. She's like, you didn't consult me? Well. She's like, well, Thomas, this is the whole thing, is that I'm the mother and I want to be consulted, and it hurts me that you didn't consult me. And he just keeps going, yeah.
I told this lady what Deidre's feelings were, and she made a couple of errors in her feelings and her flowcharts, and she had to be respectful of Deidre if she was going to work for me.
It all happened so quickly. I mean, you know, one moment you don't have a nanny, and then 3 weeks later, after interviewing her and just discussing with her, you hire her, and it's like, that was fast. I'm in 3 weeks. I didn't have time. Didn't have time to call you.
And then Catherine goes, well, this conversation is going great. And if we talked like this normally, we'd be nurturing co-parents. And he's like, where was this Catherine when we were together? It would have been different without her yelling and acting womanly and such.
Where's this woman showing that she is OC, our class? She's got manners. She's well-bred. She's
in magazines.
She's in magazines.
She's and got so they're like, funny than a funny honeybee. Bop-a-da-da-da-da.
Friday the 13th.
Wait a minute. Where's that chinga-chinga music coming from? And it's like, ding-ding-a-ding-ding-ding-ding. Ashley's back.
Well, because Thomas and Catherine, they share this hug, like, oh, we're going to co-parent. And the music is, like, loving and romantic and almost like, rrr. And here comes Ashley, and she goes, there you are, which I'm pretty sure the only time anyone ever says, there you are, is in a rom-com when the evil woman comes to cock block, right? Does anyone ever say, there you are, to people as they walk up to them? Never.
There you are. I've been looking for you. He's been in the same corner of dirt he's been in since you got here. Okay. Stupid. Yeah. Where were you is the question.
What do you call a redhead with a brain?
Non-existent.
Oh, Catherine, sorry. I didn't see you there. What do you call a brunette with a brain? My accountant.
What do you call that lamppost over there with a pretty set of eyes and a nice pair of boobs? Deidre, you can morph back now, dear. Wait for me in the car.
What do you call a blonde who has some money and some intelligence and a horse of her own? Eliza Limehouse, that's who. That's her.
At some point in this, he goes, "We just went a bridge too far." Like, shut up with your bridge.
Listen, okay, we get it. You have a bridge. Okay, God. We get that you had to cross a bridge, your bridge, to get here. Okay, we get it.
Yeah. So Ashley's like, "Oh, there you are. I've heard so much about you, and I know you know nothing about me." And Catherine's like, "Oh my God, I've heard so much about you. Really, bitch? Because I ain't heard zip about you."
That's what she just said.
And Catherine goes, "So I guess you moved here, ... That's where you speak now." And she's like, "For Thomas. I moved here for Thomas. In July, I was like, you know what? Let's be you and me and see what life is like."
Yeah.
It's like,
and Catherine goes, "That's interesting. Wow." I like that Ashley said that she wanted to move to Charleston to see what real life was like. So she basically is saying she wanted to move here to be on the TV show, and that to her is real life.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, she's like, "Let's be you and me and see what it's like."
And then out of nowhere, the editors are like, "Oh, let's just throw it in just for good measure." We just get a gratuitous flashback to Catherine running down the dock going, "Thomas!"
Yes.
I'm like, sure.
JD's at the table with Cameron, and he's like, "Well, we've got Catherine and the new girl, and so far nothing's been thrown." And then it cuts to Catherine running down the bridge again going, "Tommy!"
They're going to work in that clip every episode if they can. It'll be like Catherine ordering coffee and be like, "Wow, she really ordered that so nicely." And there'll be a flashback of, "Tommy!"
Then it cuts back to the table, and Cam's like, Knock on rib bones. You know, she's like still shoving her face full. So Ashley's like, "You know, as the mother of his children, I have nothing but respect for you. And the children are beautiful." Oh, so you've met them.
Great.
Well, I'm caught off guard because you didn't tell me you had a girlfriend. So this.
T-Rap just goes back to his greatest defense. Yeah. He just goes, "Yeah. I told you." Yeah.
No.
Yeah. It's like that empathetic. It's like, a lot of people do this, actually. They just say, "Yeah," in this empathetic tone. Like, "I understand you, but I'm not committing to any sort of response." So.
Right.
Yeah.
"I'm sorry you're crazy."
Yeah.
"I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry she's nuts, everybody. I told you she's nuts."
And then Catherine walks away and just does what she does best. Give her just a super nasty look. She's like,
Yeah, because Ashley says, "We'll get to know each other." And she goes, "Well, maybe somewhere else, because this.
This dirt pile with undercooked meats."
Can you hear me waving my hand around?
I could.
That was cracking. Well,
I'm imagining her hand waving around and finally settling into his pocket. "Because I got one hand in his pocket and another hand around your two children."
So Catherine walks off, and then she's behind that weird stair post, and she just looks back evilly.
Like, it was such an amazing scowl, glare, whatever you want to call it.
"I don't even know where I'm going." So dinner, Shep is like, "Hey, everybody, I've got a toast. Rub-a-dub-dub. Thanks for the grub. We all earned it because our parents were here first, and they bought it for us. Cheers." Everyone's like, "Cheers!
Cheers!" And then Shep just goes, again, caveman style. He just goes into the meat and he just like pulls it like right off this ridge, just dangling from his mouth. And when he's like, "Oh, mother, look at you, 38 going on 7.5. I'm like, as Patricia comes by to change your diapers, okay? Let's come on now, kidding. Whitney.
No kidding. And Shep's like, "Oh, you call ribs? They're the worst thing to eat on the first day." And Craig's like, spaghetti is the worst. Because even if you know how to eat it, you look like a clown.
Yeah, like, how the hell do you eat it? It's not about the pasta, man.
And Naomi's just looking around like, is anybody listening to fucking Craig right now? But she can't even berate him.
Yeah, is this what I dated? Someone who's like,
because they're not dating.
She's like, he's confused by spaghetti, okay?
Naomi, like, remember, we talked about girl power.
Naomi, how are you going to even put on that dress that has spaghetti straps? Like, that's hard.
Have you ever tried eating spaghetti strap dresses? So hard. Really hard to get down. So Nomi's like, well, he may be a moron, but if he dated somebody else and brought her here, I would still want to kill her and eat her family.
Okay? And some spaghetti.
Yeah, that's normal.
Yeah.
So JD's like, so Whitney, you're falling in love, man.
When he's like, no, too busy on a Renob World Tour, stands for boner backwards, because I'm just like young and cool. I'm just like a young whippersnapper, young hipster. I sometimes wear a trucker cap that says Renob on it.
Renob.
And Whitney starts asking JD about what it's like being single, and he's like, wah! And the girls are just groaning, their eyes are rolling, and they're just like, oh my God, this guy is so awful.
And yeah, because JD's answer, of course, is, well, Elizabeth, you know Elizabeth, she's grouchy. She doesn't want me, but she doesn't want me to be with someone else. And Naomi's like, can you believe this motherfucker? And he's like, exactly. I got you a gift. Which, now that we know what we know about him, it's just such a gross, sad gift. Just don't bring a gift. How about that?
Yeah.
But giving someone a gentry blanket.
Yeah.
And
a throw blanket.
Yes, a throw blanket. And it's like, a blanket for your couch, just in case I need to crash into Playboy.
Throw blanket, gentry branded. I'm like, yeah, wow. Like,
feel sorry for me and feel sorry for the business that I just lost because I never paid any of the rent. And
exactly.
Let's not even mention the fact that I just stole all of Craig's money last season and no one's going to let Craig talk about that this year.
Yeah, like, I would say burn that blanket. It is bad juju, although not that there are any Jews on this show. But honestly, like, a gentry blanket, uh-uh, get rid of it. So then all the girls are like, oh my God, JD. So we get, sort of at long last, after like 5 years of the show, we finally get a JD laughter montage. Just him being like, wah, 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 ah, ah. I'm sorry.
It really is. And Naomi just is like, it just keeps cutting to her face. And she's like, I want to kill him with that mother fucking laugh. I want to kill him. I hate him. It gives me nightmares. And Shep's like, whoa, look at that moon. And Asa's like, yeah, that means that women are fertile tonight. And Ashley goes, is that true? I'm superstitious.
So, I know.
Idiot.
Everything so about Catherine's it just, like, felt gross. Well, all you women are fertile tonight. Like, who says that at a table? And then, yeah. And obviously Ashley was, like, dropping her major uterus hints.
Yeah, she's like, you want to see it? That's how short my shorts are. Anybody? Anybody want to see it? So Catherine's like, well, she definitely has an agenda. She plays a stupid card really well. And then they cut to Ashley with her eyes wide open going, uh-huh, uh-huh.
Spiders, uh-huh. Am I right? So then upstairs, Shep goes upstairs because Cameron's like, I gotta stand up. So Shep makes his way upstairs where Cameron's now, like, walking around the kitchen. And he's like, Garsh, you're waddling around. You're like Mrs. Waddler. I'm like, good one, Shep.
Yeah, me and Craig will always be the Hatfields and the McCoys. We'll never agree, but I'm right. And I'll always love him, just like Vietnam. Garsh.
And we'll always love Craig. Gosh.
Gosh. So he's hanging out with Cameron up on the couch, and Cameron's like, so Craig, do you love her? And he's like, well, you know, it doesn't even matter because, like, it didn't work. And, like, I love pillows, and I'm not going to give up pillows just because someone tells me I can't love pillows too, you know? And sometimes you just have to say it like, I'm the chef. But I'm still bummed.
Craig, so, can you stay focused, please? No.
So Ashley goes downstairs. Ashley's like, will you help me find the bathroom? Like, she's so much dumber to me after I've just seen her face.
Will you help me find the bathroom, please?
Yes, idiot. She's like, there you are. Will you help me find the bathroom? And Thomas is like, yeah, well, everyone, I'm going to help him find the bathroom. And JD's like, where you going, bro? And he goes, I'm closing on sight.
And he just, like, ew, laughs. And everyone's just like, all the women are like, ugh. He's like, ugh. Well, JD's like, ugh. And Thomas Ravel's like, ha, 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 ha. Means we're going to go fuck in the bathroom. I'm going to go put my penis in her vagina, whether she likes it or not. That's what I'm doing right now, everyone. I'm going to walk up these stairs. Hope I don't break a seam in my tight white pants. I've got an Andy's Mint and some beef jerky in there. All right, now, bye, everyone. Golden Retrievers. Ugh.
He is so disgusting.
It was disgusting.
So Craig and Cameron are still talking about
And we should mention, by the way, that they then go into the bathroom together.
Yes. So Craig and Cameron are still talking about Naomi, and he's like, you know, I just couldn't be myself anymore. And she goes, well, it's not like you liked who you were.
I missed that. That's so good.
Cameron. So then they start cracking up because Shep sees them go, Thomas and Ashley go into the bathroom, and he's like, oh, sex is going on. Sex. And he's like, oh, young love.
Yeah, I would scrub down that bathroom thoroughly. That's never a biohazard.
That bathroom is in Shep's house, so that will never happen.
So downstairs, this is when things start to get real interesting. JD is talking about his situation with Elizabeth, and he's starting to portray himself as this lovelorn guy, and there's just, you know, fate has torn him and Elizabeth apart, and he goes, I love Elizabeth, and Naomi's like, huh. And then JD's like, the last thing I want to be is in this position with Elizabeth. Sad.
It's so sad, well. But you think about those four little souls and making them happy. And the last thing I want is to go through this. And Naomi's like, really?
Yeah.
Then why isn't she here? And he's like, well, she didn't want to come.
And Naomi's like, well, why do you think she didn't want to come? He's like, because I'm here. Sad, well. And Naomi's sad, like, wah. Yeah, no shit. And he's like, well, what do you want me to do? And she's like, how about be a better husband? And he's like, and he gets all quiet. His like face, all his like, gin blossoms are now like popping off in full bloom and red. They're all just, his cheeks are just fully red. And he's like, that's absurd that you say that. How would you know how good of a husband I am? Why?
I go to your house every day to pick your wife out of bed, so stop pretending you are every man when you are every man. He's like, we're working things through, little Naomi. She's like, that's a lie. You're not working anything through, and you're not even working, and you're out every night fucking 20-year-olds.
Well, and he also says the most annoying thing. He's like, well, we both made mistakes. I cheated on her, and she wasn't attractive enough to keep me.
I wanted her vagina, but instead it decided to spit out more of my children.
So Naomi's like, okay, now my chest is fully scratched up and raw from the super fucking JD. So yeah. Naomi's like you said, she's like, you know what? She calls me every night. She calls me, and that's a lie. She's not doing well, and it's because of you. And then even Danny's jumping in, like, you know, like, fuck you, JD. Like, she's not doing well, etc. Like, Naomi's like, I see you out every fucking night. Like, every night, fucking 20-year-olds, you know.
And he goes, nice try. And she goes, yeah, I know them, so don't make me prove it, because I will.
And then Chelsea
decides to help, because the girls are like, let's go, girl power. But then when Naomi goes in, they're all like, we're not talking, you know. But so then they decided, okay, it's time for the team to come in. So Chelsea's like, and you're a con artist, so you're probably good at hiding anyway.
But the thing is that the way Chelsea said it, her tone was like strange, like she just discovered it. She goes, and you're a con artist, so you're probably really good at hiding that shit. I don't know why it's funny to me.
Because it sounds like a compliment, and so he listens to it, and then it's like totally a slam.
And then JD goes, are y'all upset at me or something? Blah! It's like, yeah, you just picked up on this, JD? And Kevin goes, yes.
And he goes, fine, I'll be the bad guy then if you need it. And Danny goes, all guys say that. And then Austin's like, God, don't throw us all in that category with like the thing, things like that. It's not all guys.
It's not my fault I had to cook the meats.
And Catherine goes, you smear the women. And JD goes, I didn't smear the woman. I'm saying she's great. Blah. And Catherine goes, nice deflection.
Yeah, because Catherine basically is like, yeah, you're saying she's great and everything, but you're also not taking accountability, and you're kind of implying indirectly that this is Elizabeth's fault, as you know. And then he's like, blah, 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 blah. And then Catherine's like, the good old boy system is dying. Sorry. I was like, yeah. Yes. I mean, sure, we have slut-shamed a little bit, Ashley, but overall, like...
Well, you know what?
We're part of the problem. We get it.
There's a difference between slut-shaming and shaming a slut, okay? I do not take it back.
You know, you're right.
When Danny's like, guys never take accountability. And JD goes, didn't I just say I'm the bad guy?
Shut up.
Listen, this will work for Lisa Vanderpump for a certain amount of seasons, sir. And she's Lisa Vanderpump. It's already wearing thin with her. Don't be trying this.
You can't say, so I'll be the bad guy. You can't say that sarcastically and then, like, 5 minutes later, try to take it on as if, like, you were saying that in earnest. Like, I will be the bad guy. And don't even say, I will be the bad guy, because that also implies that you are not the bad guy, but you are going to step up to that role to make people feel better. It's like, no, you're fucking around, so you are the bad guy. Try to show some contrition.
Yeah, you've stole everybody's money, okay? And of course, Nomi knows this because Nomi was with Craig when Craig was like, I gave him $50,000 and now I'm his assistant for minimum wage, you know?
Yeah.
So we already saw that you took his goddamn money for your stupid
throw blankets.
Yes. Yes. Craig paid for those throw blankets.
Yeah. He probably stitched the gentry into them.
So Danny sums it up. Danny sums it up for us. She's like, we all know you're a piece of shit, JD. And he goes, well, now I know how you feel. Yeah, they literally just said you're a piece of shit, JD. He's like, good talk. Well, goodbye. Thanks a lot, ladies.
Yeah. He was shocked, by the way. He was blindsided. He did not see this coming. He looked actually like he was about to cry, which is good. He should cry.
Yeah, good. Fuck that guy.
And he just left the party. He just disappeared.
Yeah, he's a pig.
It was great. So it was actually, by the way, I don't think we're even giving justice or justice. I don't think we are really expressing how exhilarating and wonderful that scene was, because they were just like, we have had enough. And when Catherine said the good old boy, you know, that when the good old boy's scene is dying, it felt like very empowering. Hopefully this will, obviously the good old boy, unfortunately the good old boy network is very much alive and will be alive for a long time for reasons that we can't even get into. But it was a very empowering scene, and I thought it was like really a great moment on this show.
Yeah, and then Ashley comes out of the bathroom after fucking Thomas. So, know. You know, it's like baby steps, guys, baby steps. So then back down at the table, Danny's like, well, everyone thinks it. Why does everyone pretend they don't know what's going on? And Austin goes, I don't know what's up. Like, I seriously don't even know. Like,
don't turn him into Sasha. Don't turn him into Sasha.
Well, Sasha's gone, so yeah. I'm putting Sasha into Austin's body now, okay? Close enough.
He's on a hoverboard, be like, I just don't know. I don't know enough about her.
I don't know. Sasha.
He's like,
I don't know what's going on. And Danny goes, oh, please, I had respect for you for like 5 minutes. And he's like, oh, I'm not defending it. I just don't know what she did, okay? Like, I don't know what she did. And Danny's like, yes, you did. Did you not hear us? And so Whitney's like, oh, God, enough clucking. I'm going to go upstairs and call my mother about how awful women are.
He actually just like runs away. But the thing is with Austin is that he's suddenly like, oh, well, you know, I'm not going to like go in on him when I don't have all the facts. And, you know, these are serious charges. He's basically doing that whole line of thing, which is technically that's a very admirable thing. You know, you do want to get all your information, you know, in a line. You don't want to just like accuse people of things you only know half truths about. But A, you're on a reality show, so that's actually your job. You have to do that. But B, I think the reason why it always annoys people when suddenly a guy is saying that is because a lot of times guys will basically destroy, especially a woman's reputation, based on not a lot of information. It's like, where is that need to like do your due diligence and like gather all the information when you were like basically dismantling a woman's reputation? Which is what I think why when guys do that, it really makes women angry.
Well, guys also have the blackmail syndicate where guys do things in groups. The guys are like hunters. They're like packs of wolves. We're like packs of wolves. So, you know, we do more bad things in front of each other. That it's like, if you tell on one, okay, he cheated on his wife. So then everybody's going to start tattletaling on each other. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to lose money in their divorces eventually. And so they all stick together, you know? So good old boys, like they said.
It is true.
But now, we may not have things from the New York Times or any of the lamestream media, but we do have Instagram. That's the real news. Okay. So we do have proof. And so let me skip over to Instagram, because on Facebook, Cindy C on the case, CC on the CC, posted something from Elizabeth. I guess it's on Instagram. And Elizabeth Madison, she said, there's nothing worse than having what you thought was a friend make false allegations and take my privacy and my own voice away. She is making allegations about JD and my family that are not true. This has hurt me more than I can express. This BS didn't come from me. Hashtag Southern Charm. So, of course, everybody's like, oh, okay, abused woman. You're totally just making excuses for him.
Yeah.
And then there's another one down here where Naomi writes, Oh, wait. Well, oh, yeah. While you read some more.
Okay.
She goes, "Sir, I'm on a reality show, and I expect to share parts of my life with the world. In the last four seasons, I chose what I would share. This season is different, obviously. To be clear, it is my life, and I have my own voice, and I choose when and where to voice it." No, you don't. Where was Catherine's choice to voice hers when you were talking about her last season or anybody else that you've talked about on this show, ma'am? And your husband is stolen from a lot of people. It's not just you. So you're not the only victim here. So you're not just protecting yourself and your family. You're protecting an asshole from people that he's victimized. So I don't feel for you in this one.
Well, and just to skip ahead for a second, that when we see the previews for next week, it looks like we can start to see that rift between Naomi and Elizabeth starting to happen. But in the meantime, Whitney runs back upstairs and he tells Craig, he's like, "Oh, you really missed the big one down there. Whoa, they just went in on JD." And they're like, "Whoa." And then Naomi, meanwhile, she's still riding the high of just telling JD off. And she has this hilarious moment of patting herself on the back. She's, saying how, people in the South don't say what's on their mind. She's like, "But I guess because I wasn't born in Charleston, I was born in France. I can just tell the truth." I'm like, oh, yeah, there's that famous French saying it like it is quality.
Why French women aren't fat. I'm still mad about that Oprah episode, by the way.
I also want to address something. So last week, Naomi called LaCroix. She goes, "LaCroix?" And you were like, "Shut up, Naomi." I was like, "Well, no, she was actually French, right? Wasn't that you who said that?"
No, I didn't say shut up because I used to say that because of AbFab. On AbFab, they're Christian LaCroix. LaCroix, baby spew. LaCroix, baby spew, because the baby throws up on her LaCroix.
Oh, someone said something.
And so you pronounce it LaCroix, but then the company says you pronounce it LaCroix because it sounds like enjoy. And I'm
they posted something about that this week.
So you pronounce it wrong and you're a bad rhymer because it doesn't rhyme with enjoy.
I'm going to call it LaCroix.
Yeah, I'm going to call it LaCroix, too, just so I can pretend.
I'm going to call it that fizzy stuff. Hey, can someone get me that fizzy stuff over there? Thank you.
So do you want to hear Naomi's response to Elizabeth?
Yes.
She said, "Of course, everything I said tonight was approved before and discussed after with Liz. Sad to hear her covering for him again. I wish you the best, Liz."
Well, Liz probably had some buyer's remorse because she's like, "Fuck, I've got children, and I don't want this to become a whole thing that's going to impact my children," which sucks. Because
calling him a con man is not good for anybody's finances, especially when she put all her money, according to the girls, she put her money into JD's business and then he, basically blew through it.
He is truly, wait for it, a charlatan. Get it? Charlestown, Charlotte. It would have been better if they lived in Charlotte.
And that's nothing to be ashamed of.
He's a mountebank.
One day you'll have a bridge. One day you'll
one
have
day.
A bridge.
So then, now after this whole dust up, Craig, with a face full of chew, heads down to talk to Naomi about the JD confrontation. He's like, I support you 100%. I think that's really good. And you have a lot of convictions about it. And I think it's great that you have convictions and I support your convictions. And hey, I'm a lawyer. So I actually know what conviction means in multiple different ways.
Also, what foil is. You know what that is, right? Am I making that up in my head?
Yeah.
And she's look.
I bet there's foil here, by the way. They say there's no foil, but I bet there's foil.
He just doesn't know what it's called.
Yeah.
So she's like, no, I heard that you were on his side, and you said out one night that JD's going through a lot. And he goes, I never said that, Naomi. What was the context? It doesn't mean I had his side. You have to have context of things. Ask more questions. Why is he going through it? Maybe he got bad guacamole, and I said, whoa, he's going through a hard time. Come on, ask questions.
Guacamole's hard to make, actually. I like to cook. It's because you have to use avocados, but have you ever gotten an avocado, and you're like, I'm going to make some guacamole, and that's hard, and you're like, what am I going to do now? It's like, that's hard.
He's like, I agree with you. I trust your conviction. And she goes, well, you didn't trust it before. She's starting to cry. And he's like, nuh-uh, you didn't trust mine. You wouldn't validate my feelings. I sewed it into a pillow, so don't tell me it's not true.
Just so you know, I didn't bring a date to this because, I didn't want to ruin the chances of, maybe getting back with you. And, we could, go and buy LaCroix again. It's LaCroix, Craig. I can say these things because I wasn't born in Charleston. I was born in France, okay?
And he's like, this is the first time I've seen you cry. It's so weird. And she's like, ugh, I know. I don't want to cry about it. Ugh, so gross.
I thought you hated me. We both care a lot. I was scared. I needed to have my own place, my own sewing machine.
No, he said I was too scarred.
Oh, scarred. I was scared and scarred.
I was scarred. I mean, mostly it's because you were yelling at me while I was trying to sew Gizmo into a pillow. I hurt my finger.
But, I did a cross stitch on my finger. It really hurt. Now I'm scarred.
I'm damaged. And she's like, why are we so damaged? And he's like, have you seen my finger? Have you seen it?
Yeah, she's like, I literally don't even know why we're damaged. She's just crying. He's like, well, I think we're damaged because, like, my feeling, my thoughts on things were never good enough for you. Like, no matter what I said, it was never good enough. And that's fine. We're just, like, two different people. So, like, anyway, I'm going to go look for some tinfoil.
So the next morning, Catherine is over at Naomi's house, and they're basically just talking about the night.
By the way, real quickly, did you notice there was, like, a shot of Chelsea working out with Mariah Carey? That was really strange to me.
No, what?
They show Chelsea, they were showing, like, bah, 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 Charleston things, and, like, Shep wakes up, is like, gosh, it's a mess. And then so show Chelsea at a gym, and she's like, all right, let's get into working out. And they show her workout partner looked exactly like Mariah Carey. I was like, what is... Please let that be Mariah Carey. This is a crossover, like a weird low-key celebrity crossover that we were not expecting. It's just like, oh, there's Mariah just, about to, like, do some squats with Chelsea. No,
Mariah would never do a squat. Like, she won't even walk on her own now. They just carry her and place her. Like, she has dancers turning her around on stage and shit now, which is why she will always be queen. So then they cut to Cameron just watching an empty baby swing go back and forth. She's like, God, this life is boring. God!
Yeah,
Jesus, get this thing out of me! So Catherine and Naomi talk about the guys and then decide, yeah, they're going to keep this women empowerment thing going because it feels good to, you know, go against the guys and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just sitting there recapping the night and everything, and Catherine starts to cry about Thomas because she's remembering stuff. You know, it's like a fairly standard thing that happens with Catherine on this show. She starts to cry about Thomas. She's like,
"It hurt me. We just had sex in the dressing room. Watch what happened." So
I can't believe I'm crying like this. My bronzer is caked. So then we see Thomas and Ashley, they go out to dinner, and he's like, all right, I think we're going to have some scallops and oysters. Let's do a mezcal shooter. And Ashley's like, no, I can't do it. I think we want to have a mezcal shooter. No, please, we're going to do a mezcal shooter, please. She's like, no.
And he goes, it'll make us feel better, and gives her a wink, because I guess he's talking about the sexual prowess of the oyster. Yeah. And she goes,
well,
I just want you to be attracted to me, okay? I want you to be attracted to me.
Well, then stop doing your makeup like Terry Garr, okay? She was going for a Terry Garr look, and I love Terry Garr. But, like, listen, Ashley, you are no Terry Garr.
Oh, God. I just like that he's alluding to the fact that it'll make us feel better, wink, like he can't get it up or something, because he's like, I just want you to be attracted to me. Just don't make me dye my hair red. I'm like, lady, you're the saddest, most obvious, thirsty lech I've ever seen. You're sitting there in a pearl necklace. It's like, how many signs do you need to give the guy, okay?
She's like, oysters give me highs, but they give me an erection, so I guess we're going to do it. Hi, the girl.
Ugh, I want you to be attracted to me. I want to turn you on. Don't make me dye my hair red. And he goes, well, speaking of red-headed ladies, Catherine sure was civil. What a gorgeous specimen of... She's like, well, how serious do you think she thinks we are? And he's like, well, she just wants to win, because when estrogen is involved, it's winning for the sake of winning. You know, they don't want that L on their heads.
Those stupid women can't think for themselves, out to steal women and sabotage other women because that's all they got going in their life. They don't have any brains, hence golden retrievers. You know what I'm saying? Ha ha. Here, have this shooter, young lady. Major boo.
I was just booing him. What an asshole. And this is where he goes, it was a bridge too far. It's tragic how it happened, really. So quick, and she was so young. I love that it makes it sound like she died in front of a train, you know?
A young peanut went out on the train tracks, his heart a flutter. Here comes the train, and oops, peanut butter. Such a shame, such a young peanut.
That was Austin. Jane Austen, that is.
That was something from Jane Austen's childhood. She put a peanut on a railroad and watched what happened live. Hashtag Andy Cohen was like, that's sad. I'm going to write a book about it. I'm going to find a, make a matchmaker for the peanut.
So then she goes, well, do you wish it had worked out? Because he's talking about it like, he's like, women are idiots, but God, if Catherine had just behaved, she would be my idiot. And he's so romantic. And Ashley's like, do you wish it had worked out? And then it shows, Thomas, don't go! Like, another montage of them, like, in love. And he goes, well, if she'd be sweet and nice, I'd still be with her. And I was like, oh, my God. You're such a pig to Catherine and Ashley. How am I feeling for Ashley?
You know what this scene needed? It needed that drunk lady from last season to interrupt and be like, this woman right here, she's is your soulmate. I love her in Young Frankenstein. It's hilarious. Tootsie, you guys are soulmates. And you
she
look
was
great.
Phoebe's mother on Friends. Marry her. Marry her now.
A bridge to Gar, if you know what I'm saying.
That Tara bridge to Gar, she'd still have a career if she wasn't so weak in the head.
All right, it's my fault. I brought Terry Gar into this. I have to deal with the repercussions. I'm not going to be like Elizabeth and say some things in Terry Gar's life are private. God bless Terry Gar. Honestly, God bless her. I know she's going through a lot probably right now.
Oh, good.
Her and Linda Ronstadt, they're fighting the same battle, I believe. My love to both of them. Why do all the good ones have to be taken from us?
I don't know. Why does it always make me laugh? I'm a terrible human being.
And I'm trying to be sincere about Linda Ronstadt and Terry Gar, and you're laughing, okay? That is not right.
I feel like you're tricking me. You, like, get me laughing about something, and then you're like, oh, let's talk about, you know, the death of
Well, they're alive. You know, they're both alive.
Well, the slow death of whoever. And then I'm, like, still laughing, and then you're like, you feel nothing.
There was a great interview with Linda Ronstadt recently. I wish I had it in front of me because she just shades everyone in it. And then she's talking about like her biggest hits and she's like Blue Bayou. She's like, what a fucking awful song. I don't know why people like it. I think this means that it's time to go on to the mailbag, huh?
Let's do it.
Ron, you want to tell the people what the mailbag's all about?
Yeah, the mailbag is where you ask us stuff. It's a Patreon thing, so if you want to do it, come over to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens and go to the mailbag posts.
Yeah. We still have a bunch of questions in here. We are getting through them, people. So first, Allison King asks, if the cast of Vanderpump Rules, or the show of your choosing, were cast as Sesame Street characters, who would they be? And you can expand this to multiple Muppets if you wish. Thank you, Allison. Thank you for giving us that flexibility.
The cast of who?
Vanderpump Rules. Who would they be on Sesame Street? I mean, I feel like Kristen is obviously Bert, right? Ugh.
Well, it depends. If it's normal Kristen, sober Kristen, it's kind of Bert. But he's so anal. I feel like drunk Kristen is definitely Animal.
But isn't that Sheena?
No, Sheena, I feel like Sheena is Grover. A mix of Grover and kind of Kermit, right? Because she kind of like leads. I think we've done this before, actually.
I mean, I think we have just naturally compared them to Muppets. But I think this is the first time we've actually specifically compared them to Sesame Street.
But like Kermit's always standing up for Miss Piggy. Wait,
we're doing Sesame Street. We're not going to expand to the Muppets universe. So Kermit is not a factor.
Sesame Street? Well, I don't know the difference. Bert, Ernie. Okay, who is there?
So
Bert,
I feel Ernie. Like, I okay, while
Big
you think
Bert,
about that.
Snuffleupagus. Snuffleupagus is Peter.
Snuffleupagus got a mom haircut, I guess. I feel, in a weird way, I'm getting Tom Sandoval vibes from the Count. I think it's because he's, like, accessorized, has, like, a nice cape. He's like, dude, you know what I like to do? I like to count. And, like, when you count, you gotta wear, like, this cape. It's like, it's awesome, man. Like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How awesome is that, man? Dude!
Who can count to 30 faster, bro? Okay. So then Animal, we can't have Animal be anybody, because he's also kind of Jax.
Is Sheena Elmo? Is that a possibility?
Sheena can be Elmo, yeah. Because he was also the newest one on the block. Remember when Elmo was the first one to start working at Pump and everyone was like, you slut.
By the way, I have to interrupt this because I just realized who Kristen is. Oscar the Grouch. Because I love trash. I love it because it's trash. Because I can imagine her just like emerging from a trash can and be like, ugh. Just grouchy.
Who would Stassi be? I don't know enough Muppets. Why can't they be Muppets?
Because we've done Muppets and this is more of a challenge. I feel like Stassi is Big Bird only because sometimes I feel like the clothes she wears flow out like Big Bird feathers.
Yeah, see, that Big Bird would rock like a pirate sleeve for sure.
Yeah. Like that's what I'm saying. Like Big Bird would totally do that and would just, you know, that Big Bird probably shades everyone behind their backs anyway.
I feel like none of the Muppets are really evil enough to be these people. Like, who would be Katie?
I mean,
if Kristen is Bert, well, Kristen's Oscar the Grouch now,
so,
right?
So Katie would be Bert, probably.
No, yeah, she would be Bert, and then Tom, too, would be Ernie.
Yeah, Schwartz would be Ernie for sure.
Yeah. Okay, and then James would be...
He would just be himself playing, like, spinning records in the corner of Sesame Street. Do you know how to get... How to get to Sesame Street?
Yeah, because he does have like that bobble thing that they all have when they start dancing around to music.
Yeah, and I don't think I know any more Sesame Street characters beyond that. It's like Elmo and Google Grover. It's Grover.
Sesame Street.
Sheena is a little like Grover. She's got that enthusiasm.
I think Sheena would be Grover. Yeah,
she's got that like that. Like you're kind of like, what is Grover? Oh, who's Cookie? Oh wait, no, Sheena might be Cookie Monster. C is for cookie. It's good enough for me.
Rob can make this cookie in 7 minutes. I'm looking up Sesame Street cast, so I hope the FBI smile. Doesn't look at my computer. Okay, so there's Grover. There's a bunch of new Sesame Street people.
I know. I have no idea
who these people are. Who are they?
I don't know who the humans are either, because growing up, we didn't get PBS because we had rabbit ears for our TV, so we could only get like NBC, CBS, and Fox. And like sometimes ABC, but PBS would not come in. So I don't have any formative memories of Sesame Street except from like my toys. And I had like one Sesame Street record, which I really loved.
Yeah, if this were Muppets, I could slay. But right now, here's what I see. Right now I see Big Bird, Elmo, Cookie Monster, Bert and Ernie, and then there's like Katie O'Malley over there. I don't know who she is. She's like some newbie who like couldn't learn the menu. And then Bert and Ernie, and then there's like some other randos, just like Gigi or whatever that you like. Get off my TV! You don't belong here.
So let's go to another question. Rachel asks, "Can you guys reenact your first meeting/conversation?"
Yes.
Was this at 24 Hour Fitness? Was that the first time, or was it another time?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, this is good. Okay, I'll be me and you be you.
Okay.
I'm in the locker room. I am looking in the mirror, looking at hot guys in the mirror. But since
I'm sweating like a pig, I'm gonna pee out my ears. Ugh, I hate this place. What am I even doing here? Hey, I think that's B-side.
And I'm like, hey, I am a closeted gay man, so clearly Ronnie cannot know that I'm checking out the really hot shirtless black guy over there. So
and I was like, oh my god, he's checking out the hot black shirtless guy. Why isn't he out of the closet in blogs?
No, because you were like, hey, what's going on? I was like, hey, what's going on? I was like totally caught cruising. But then for a few years, you were like, oh my god, Ben. The first time I met Ben, he was totally looking himself in the mirror at the gym. And I was like... Yeah, I was like totally looking at myself. No, I was definitely.
No, I mean, I saw you cruising, but I don't know. I mean, who says that? He was like, first time I met Ben, he was cruising, you know, pretending he's looking at himself in the mirror. Like, who says that?
Was that really our first time? We hadn't met before then. Was that really our first time?
No, we had only met in emails and stuff.
That's so
funny. And then after that was after I took over TV Gasm and we came to your and Joe's house, your apartment.
That was funny. Really I feel like we bitched a lot.
And you're like, so, Ronnie, tell me everything. And I was like, I literally have nothing to tell you. I wait tables and sleep. I do improv. What else would you like to know?
Yeah, that was funny. Cruise. That was a good... God, I loved cruising that gym. Like, just because I would just... only look. I would never like, but actually it's when you say cruising that gym, it implies that you go to the shower and hook up. I would just look. Oh, no, that's so not fun.
That kind of gym.
It's not, but it was fun.
Unfortunately, which is why I quit and never went back to the gym again.
It's a shame. It's a shame. I'm in a two gym situation now, which is really annoying because I joined Gold's Gym. And I did that thing where I just paid for the whole membership, like the whole year, because it was cheaper than doing it by month. And then I was going to leave LA Fitness, but then I haven't left it yet because part of me was like lazy. But then it's a whole convoluted thing that sounds totally entitled. But I started seeing a trainer, and the trainer was training me out of his apartment gym, but now his apartment.
Oh, yeah.
His apartment gym. I've mentioned Horace, good old Horace. And so his apartment gym is getting renovated, so he's like, we can train at LA Fitness. I was like, well, I'm not going to cancel my membership thing until after we're done with LA Fitness, because I don't want to have to go through a whole thing every time I go in there. I have to fill out forms like a guest, etc. Long story short, the point is this. The LA Fitness that I go to now, because the one that's closer to me, is horrific. It's terrible. It's like just full of old people. I think I've ranted about this before, and it's not that I'm being ageist. These are just like very gross old people. So that's awful. And honestly, the Gold's Gym, ugh, it's like really like it's the point is, as Karen Huger would say, not a lot of eye candy. And that's just not right. If you're in LA and you're in a gym, I feel like you're entitled to eye candy. And I'm not getting two gyms. I'm not getting any of it.
Yeah, I could do push-ups at home. Like, get somebody hot.
It's just not fair. Although I did see Agoo, that was his name, from Invite Only Cabo, right? I saw him, I did see him taking selfies in the mirror at Gold's. So I was like, okay, that's an improvement.
I find that so not hot. Like, guys like that are just so gross to me. They're so into themselves.
But it's Agoo, and he's hot. And when is Invite Only Cabo coming back? Is it coming back? Because it should. Because Bravo just announced a whole bunch of shows that it re-upped, and I did not see Invite Only Cabo on it, which is a huge shame.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I thought they were shooting another season, but I have no idea. We'll have to call Larry and Emily.
I know. We'll have to text them and be like, when are you guys coming back? It was such a good show. I really, really enjoyed it. So anyway, I think we're just going to wrap it up for today, because we're already at 90 minutes. So, you guys, please come to our Irvine show. There's actually not a lot of tickets left. I'm really so proud of our Crappins army for rallying and buying a whole bunch of tickets in the past 2 weeks or so. So there's not a lot left. We're going to have a really, really fun time. There will be Taco Bell involved. And there was something else I was going to say, but I forget what it was. So
too late, it's over.
It's all over but the crying. So bye, everyone. Talk to you on Monday. Bye.
Later.